Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The latest from 7 News with Michael Usher.
Good evening and welcome. Tonight, the case builds against Vladimir Putin. New war crimes evidence will go live to Ukraine. Emergency evacuation from a Rex plane. All those details from Melbourne. History, mystery, two crucial journals, stolen, thought lost forever, returned with a curious note. We'll go live to London. And new life away from war. A first day at school for these children finding peace in Australia. But first tonight, to the very latest on the ground in Ukraine, live to correspondent Jeff Parry in Lviv. Jeff, good evening to you from here. So, the case for a war crimes trial is finding a lot more support tonight.
Yes, indeed it is, Michael, and why wouldn't it? The scenes that we've seen over the last 24 hours or so of these atrocities in Bucha in particular, but some of the other suburbs around the suburbs of the outskirts of the capital, Kyiv, has just left the world reeling at the apparent genocide. What's gone on here at the hands of Russian troops in the name of Vladimir Putin? We've seen bodies strewn on the streets. Many of them have been bound and executed. One of the local mayors of a village near Bucha, who's been taken off with a husband and their son, who's in his 20s, and they've been executed and buried in the forest there. And again, evidence that they've also been tortured and bound. Mass graves are being discovered. The Russians themselves are saying, look, this is all fake. They've even told the United Nations that this is fake. They're telling the world that it's fake. But now, satellite images that show that those bodies have been there for weeks when the Russians were in control of that territory. This is now only coming to light, Michael, because the Russians have been forced out and the Ukrainians are now coming in and discovering what's been going on there. It's just horrific.
Well, if it's horrific there then, Jeff, it raises the question, what about other parts of Ukraine that haven't been seen yet? And I'm mindful that as we speak, the NATO chief Stoltenberg is saying that, quote, he fears more atrocities. What more may Ukrainian troops find when they get into areas where Russia has been or still holds?
And I think, Michael, you're referring there to Mariupol, and that's one of the great unknowns, and I think this is what Stoltenberg is referring to. This may be a little bit different, though, because, as I said before, I mean, they found out about these atrocities in Bucha because the Ukrainian troops have been able to take that back. In this case, in Mariupol, after weeks and weeks of shelling and, bombing churches where people have been sheltering, schools where people have been hiding away from the Russian bombs, you know, what atrocities have been committed there by some of the fierce fighting, some of the fierce street fighting that's been going on. It's a fair bet that a lot of it has been replicated down in Mariupol. But whether, now that the Russians are about to take control of that, whether, they will be able to clean that up and hide it as they haven't been able to do around Kyiv, Michael.
Seeing vision there of those aircraft hangars that we've finally been able to get in and have a look, which were bombed early in the war. But Jeff, moving on, war crime trials, charges against Vladimir Putin and his top generals. Big talk, very difficult to achieve. Can we expect a further round of sanctions in the meantime?
Well, the European nations are talking more sanctions. They haven't really sort of come up with anything specific at the moment. Of course, we know that they have applied sanctions since the war began 5 weeks ago, and some of those are starting to bite. Now, what else they can do, they'll be looking at. We know that there's a NATO meeting of foreign ministers coming up, at which our own foreign minister will attend, and Jens Stoltenberg, who's the head of NATO, said it's right that Australia's foreign minister, that representatives from New Zealand, from other countries outside of Europe, attend these meetings because it's now a global issue. It's not just one for Europe. It's something for the whole world. And Australia, of course, is supplying military arms to Ukraine and whatever assistance that it can. So it will take part in those talks. And they will decide not just sanctions or talk about sanctions, but also what militarily they can provide. It seems these days that whatever Vladimir Zelensky asks for, he gets. Maybe not the shutdown of the skies over Ukraine, but pretty much with some very sophisticated defence weapons now.
Jeff, what do we believe the intelligence is really telling us at the moment? Has Russia really left Kyiv and some of those surrounding areas. What's the word?
Okay, so what they're saying now is that they're seeing evidence that about two-thirds of those troops that were in the north, so they were around Kyiv, around Chernihiv, and they were, these are the troops, Michael, that were going to originally lay siege to Kyiv and make it topple. They've been withdrawn, they believe. They've sort of gone back into Belarus, which is just to the north, and then they'll skirt round. They'll have to be resupplied because the Ukrainians have been picking them off, particularly their supply line. So they've killed a lot of Russian soldiers. So they've got to be remanned, they've got to be resupplied, and then they will go down to the east and to the south. Probably to the east is where they now believe will be a big offensive, a massive offensive in that disputed Donbass area, Donetsk, Luhansk, those cities where they were occupied by Russian sympathisers. There's been a war down there since 2014, and the idea now is that the Russians will really go for that. They will withdraw their troops from other areas and they'll concentrate on that area, and that's the one that they will, and also the south coast, Michael, that's very important to them as well.
Well, they're entrenched in those areas and they're safe places for them, so if they retreat there they can regroup and see what happens. Meanwhile though, Jeff, President Zelensky, he's about to dial into an emergency UN meeting, we believe.
Yes, we understand that that's the case. It's not the first time that he's addressed the UN. He did it earlier in the war, and he's very adept at this. We've seen this, Michael, over recent weeks, where he gets on the video and he addresses Australia's Parliament was the last one, but he's done European Parliaments, the Congress in the States, all around the world. He's made these addresses. The UN is the latest one. It's expected that he's going to ask now he's going to raise genocide for a start. That's the big point of this, that Russia has committed genocide in Ukraine and that they should be condemned for it by the United Nations family. But he's also going to be asking for extra weapons, for more munitions in order to keep the fight going. I mean, they've done a hell of a job so far, and he's saying to the world, we still need your help because of this push that's coming. We've got to be regrouped as well, we've got to be resupplied, and we've got to be ready for them, Michael.
A lot of help still needed. All right, Jeff Parry there in Lviv again. Thank you very much. Taking you straight to Melbourne Airport next, our reporter Rochelle Brown's live there for us. Rochelle, good evening. So Regional Express passengers had to jump out of a plane. What happened there?
Yeah, Michael, passengers were due to take a flight bound for King Island just before 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's when crews started to notice something was wrong. They spotted smoke and flames coming from the engine on the left-hand side of the aircraft. More than 30 passengers were told they had to evacuate. They were forced to leave their possessions behind and make that 1.5-metre jump from the plane to the ground. Now, some people were assisted by security for that jump. Others had to make it themselves, but no stairs were used in the process. It's understood that no one was treated for any injuries, but one passenger did say that he hurt his artificial knee a little as he fell when he made that jump. Now, fire and rescue responded to the emergency. They were on hand to assist, but Melbourne Airport says there were no major impact to their operations as a result of the incident. Rex has since issued a statement. They say that all the passengers were evacuated safely and they were put on a flight earlier tonight to their destination. Aviation experts say that this was a serious incident that should be investigated. Michael?
No doubt it will. Fright for the passengers. Rochelle, thank you for that in Melbourne. New tonight, we've learned more bus strikes are in store for Sydney commuters. Live to our reporter, Angelique Opie, now in Sydney. Angel, good evening to you. Anyone in the city going to be spared from this latest industrial action?
Michael, it's highly unlikely. Tens of thousands of passengers across the city will be affected on Monday. Routes in the CBD, the Inner West, the Sutherland Shire, Southwest Sydney, the Hills District and the Northern Beaches. So we know that 1,000 bus drivers who work for three private operators will be walking off the job for 24 hours. The issue here stems from the fact that they want more pay, they want more breaks and overall fair working conditions. The union will discuss how the strike will work during a meeting tomorrow. Now, today, the Transport Minister, David Elliott, said he was not aware of any industrial action planned for Monday. He still maintains there are ongoing and intense negotiations between the union and the state government. But this strike adds to a growing list of others that we've seen in the past few weeks. On Thursday, nurses across the state went on strike and many were seen rallying outside state parliament. And this Thursday, the Health Services Union has warned around 20,000 healthcare workers will be walking off the job too. Unions have said 2022 will be the year of the strike, and they certainly weren't wrong, Michael.
A lot of unhappy workers across the board. All right, Angelique in Sydney, thank you for that tonight. Well, detectives are right now in the process of extraditing a man from Queensland to Victoria over a young woman's murder. 27-year-old Jessica Geddes was found dead inside a Melbourne home in 2020. 28-year-old man's been arrested facing court in Brisbane.
I'm so relieved. Finally, we can begin this justice journey. He's finally charged and maybe we can have some closure. And maybe we can, as a family, start to heal.
The accused knew Jessica and applying to have him sent back to answer the charges.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tomorrow, most of the Blue Mountains National Park will be off limits after a British father and son were killed by a landslide. Mother and another boy were critically hurt while a daughter was uninjured. The family had been walking at Wentworth Falls on one of the very few open trails after weeks of heavy rain. So from 9 a.m, all of the park will close except Evans and Govett's Leap lookouts in Blackheath. Major crash officers are on South Australia's Kangaroo Island tonight investigating a fatal accident there. A man was killed after his semi-trailer careered off the road and went flying into the water. Locals tell us they tried to help the driver but just could not reach his cabin. The man is a local worker. And a schoolboy is in a stable condition in hospital tonight after falling 7 metres down a cliff face during a rock climbing excursion in Victoria. He'd been skating with two others in the state's far west when he tumbled onto a ledge and so steep it was just unsafe to winch them out. Rescuers used ropes to pull all three to safety. An update next on the boy who fell from a ride at Movie World. Let's go live to our reporter Alex Lewis now. Alex, good evening to you. This wasn't good, but how's he doing tonight?
Good evening, Michael. Well, I'm glad to report that the boy's in a stable condition tonight, although I imagine he's got rather a sore head. An ambulance was called to the theme park around 1 o'clock when he fell off what 7 News understands was the Looney Tunes carousel. A nurse from the theme park initially treated him. He'd suffered a significant cut to his head, but paramedics arrived, assessed him, and then took him to the Gold Coast University Hospital, thankfully with no life-threatening injuries. Now, this unfolded on the first day of the school holidays here in Queensland. The theme park was packed. The incident shocked many families. Movie World has released a statement saying that they're investigating the incident as a matter of priority and that as a matter of precaution, they're closing out of an abundance of caution while they ensure that there was nothing just to make sure that it couldn't have been prevented in any way and while they're fully understanding what may have led to that incident. But this really couldn't have come at a worse time for the theme park, the start of the school holidays and as it's trying to bounce back from COVID. But the good news, Michael, is that that boy is on the mend tonight.
Indeed. Sounded dramatic, but a rotten start to the holidays for him. Alex, thanks for that. Let's go to Parliament House now. New developments clearing the way for an election to be called. Our political reporter Jennifer Beshwadi is in Canberra for us. Jen, good evening. Scott Morrison has overcome a hurdle in the lead-up.
That's right, Michael. Quite a big hurdle, actually, one that was delaying the selection of candidates in key seats in New South Wales. But now the Court of Appeal has backed Scott Morrison's right for his captain picks, or to keep those captain picks in several of those seats. That clears the way for him to call an election any day now. And Anthony Albanese is demanding that he do it immediately. But as 7 News political editor Mark Riley revealed tonight, that might not actually happen for a few days, because several coalition campaign staff have had their flights to the Brisbane campaign headquarters delayed until the weekend. That suggests that he might call the election on Sunday. Parliament doesn't have to return next week, and he'll get a huge impact with quite large ratings on the television networks on Sunday. What we do know, Michael, is that it'll happen very, very soon.
Yeah, and Jen, meanwhile, Labor's aged care plan, it has come under some scrutiny tonight.
Yeah, it hasn't taken long for cracks to appear in Labor's signature policy. This is the pledge that was made by the opposition leader at the budget reply speech. That's to have one registered nurse on duty 24/7 at every aged care facility across the country. But Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers today conceded that actually hiring those nurses might not be as easy as first anticipated. You need tens of thousands of nurses. It won't be easy to get them by July next year. That is their pledge. To fill that gap, they may need to increase migration, even though Anthony Albanese said that he wanted to train more nurses here. Takes 3 years to get a Bachelor of Nursing degree, so getting to those numbers might not be as easy as first expected, Michael.
All right, Jen Beshwadi in Canberra, thank you. We've been given a front row seat to South Australia's biggest ever drug bust. Boaty stumbled across the bundles of cocaine bobbing about in waters off the York Peninsula. They radioed authorities about the record stash, and Border Force leapt to action. Worth a staggering $250 million had been allegedly dumped by a crew on a commercial bulk carrier. COVID vaccine mandates are about to be done away with for most venues in Queensland. From April 14, you won't have to show proof when heading to somewhere like a pub, club, cafe, restaurant or a stadium. If you're going into a vulnerable setting like an aged care prison, the requirement remains in place. And if you're with Optus, you can make and receive phone calls again tonight after a major nationwide outage. Mobile and landline services were down for nearly 5 hours. Our second largest telco says it's fixed the technical fault and apologised for the inconvenience.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a small business owner and travel quite a bit for work, Virgin Australia is trying to lure you with a new loyalty rewards program. Our network finance editor Gemma Acton is with us in the studio tonight. Gem, good evening to you. So how does it work and what are the perks?
Well, it's free to sign up, which is a good start. There are three tiers. So if you fly and you spend up to $10,000 a year, that's tier one, up to $50,000 tier two, then beyond that tier three. The main advantages are an up to 6% discount on airfares. You can get discounted membership of the lounge. And every time you earn a frequent flyer point, you earn it. Your business does as well. So effectively on those points.
In Australia, we used to have one of the more, I think, the busiest business routes. Is that
right? Second busiest route. Not just business. Second busiest route overall.
Right. So the business travel then, that's why Virgin's going after it. It's important.
It very much is, yeah. So Virgin Australia really wants to handle about a third of the domestic market across both leisure and business. And while leisure has rebounded really strongly since the pandemic, business travel hasn't come back yet in the same way. I guess people just got really used to Zoom meetings, but it's expected to make more of a recovery than it has now. So Virgin's doing its best to position itself ahead of that. So they've launched this, or recently they also cut a whole lot of their business class fares on various domestic routes within Australia.
Competition, though. Australia already, yes. and talk of another airline starting up again. What competition does Virgin face in attracting this type of customer?
So Virgin was doing really well in the business space before 2020, and 2020 was a bit of a messy year for Virgin. It went into administration, and then US private equity firm Bain Capital bought it out. And amidst all of that kerfuffle, it did lose quite a few of its major corporate clients. So it's really looking to win them back. It's decided, look, we don't want to compete at the very, very top end with Qantas. We're positioning ourselves above your jets, Stars, your Rex, and Bonza, which is the airline you just mentioned, which is looking to launch later this year. And so carving out that mid-market to upper mid-market niche for itself, businesses are really important, particularly as you imagine that businesses from now on will be paying a lot more attention to their travel budget now that we know we can do things differently. So this is going to be a really critical part of the market. And so far, we haven't seen any of the lower tier players go after it. Qantas does have a very competitive yeah. business offering as well and has a similar three-tier program for businesses. That'll be an interesting fight to watch.
It's interesting
out.
Too when you think the Virgin was on its knees not too long ago.
Less than 2 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Jem, thank you for that.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, first day at school is a nerve-wracking experience for even the toughest of youngsters. Tried doing it in a new country, having just escaped war. That was the case for these Ukrainian students who found safe haven in Adelaide. We're talking dozens of students of all ages, from different cities, going to classes organised by the local Ukrainian community. The principal says it is and about our culture. And the kids traumatised at the horrors back home are looking forward to what they say is a new life. Well, an intriguing story tonight for the UK on the return of two very famous notebooks belonging to Charles Darwin, presumed stolen two decades ago. Our correspondent Tom Hartley is live in London with the details. Tom, good evening to you. This is a really curious one. I like the story. So where'd the librarians find these journals?
Well, Michael, they were actually really hard to miss. They were left in a bright pink gift bag right outside the librarian's office, and they were wrapped very tightly in cling film and then placed in a brown envelope. And on that brown envelope was a very short and sweet note that said, "Librarian, Happy Easter." X, a little kiss there for the librarian. She was understandably really stoked with this discovery, considering the last time that these two notebooks were seen was 20 years ago. And they went missing after a photo shoot that they did at the library there, and then they just assumed, oh, it's missing somewhere. Fair assumption, considering that library actually stores around 10 million books, documents, maps, all that sort of thing. So they just thought, okay, this is missing. But it wasn't until November 2020, when they turned that library upside down, the biggest search in the university's history, and they realised, okay, these books are missing. Okay, we need to notify the world they've been stolen. And so a year after that appeal, they've been returned. And this is what the chief librarian had to say about it.
There have been tears, and I think there still will be, because we're not over the emotional roller coaster. It means so much to us to have these home. They've clearly been looked after with care wherever they have been.
Now, why is this so important? Why are these notepads considered as so rare? Well, they actually contain a tree of life which inspired Charles Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection, which some scientists will argue is the most significant scientific theory of all time, Michael. So we can understand why they were so chuffed to get these books back. Who done it? That's the next question. Well, police are currently CCTV from the library. Unfortunately, there wasn't a camera on that exact spot where that bright pink bag was left. But what they'll be looking for is someone walking around the university grounds with a bright pink bag. One thing they do know is that they were returned in really good condition, so that could almost imply potentially this was an inside job. Probably too early to assume that right now, Michael, but it's certainly an intriguing case that has captivated the world, and especially Britain's right here in England.
Someone's cared for them at the very least. It's a wonderful return. I love the note on it as well too. Happy Easter. There you go. All right, Tom Hartley in London. Thanks for that. Well, thank you for your company this evening. From the team here at 7 News, that is the latest. I'm Michael Usher. Have a good night.